something I have been wishing ChatGPT would do ever since the very beginning, mostly because this is a task I absolutely hate, and I have had to do a lot of this lately, is taxes. So today on the podcast, we are going to talk about how ChatGPT, OpenAI, is helping to revolutionize the tax code, taxes, a company that is doing that, something that just happened in the Wall Street Journal. We'll be talking about a little bit of current events, some politicians on Twitter, spicy stuff. And we're going to be going over how this is actually going to help us in the future, what some people are doing, and talk about the implications. So without further ado, let's dive into it. So right off the bat, a bunch of stuff we're going to be talking about today is from the Wall Street Journal. They recently wrote an article about a company called Muse Tax. Now, Muse Tax essentially harnesses ChatGPT 3 and 3.5 and is using that to help you do your taxes better. So the company is one of many across a range of industries that's really started to figure out how to use ChatGPT and put it into a very practical use. It's kind of interesting because the CEOs of Muse Tax, they said, you know, we're looking at all these really fun ways that you can use ChatGPT and AI and whatnot for different things. And they're like, but at the end of the day, we wanted to use it for something really concrete and really useful. So they decided to focus on tax. Both of them, it's a startup out of New York, but both of them have a background in accounting. And the company is one of many that is essentially using an API, or what's called an API just means application programming interface, right? But essentially that just means they're plugging straight into ChatGPT and some other software, allegedly. And they're kind of building on top of those technologies to be able to use this. So this started back in February of 2022, meaning that these guys actually got this thing up and running before ChatGPT's big launch to everybody. So they would have been using what was formerly called DaVinci 3, and they were using that to kind of help them. And I've actually seen, you know, this is kind of the case with a lot of people that you would see having fully fledged products come out today. These guys were getting started with DaVinci pre-ChatGPT, and now that honestly, this is going to absolutely explode, but it takes time and money to build out a fully fledged functional company. And so I predict after ChatGPT, we are going to see hundreds and thousands of these companies coming out that are starting to really launch over the next 6 months to a year because of all the hype, all the people that are in the space and working on it, and it takes time for these people to fully fledge their products. But people that were early to the game are getting rewarded. So one example, Muse Tax, back in February, they launched. They were both certified public accountants. They had a lot of years of experience in financial services. I think this is going to be a format we see a lot of. You know, people have experience in one specific area, so they launch a product built on ChatGPT, OpenAI, in that specific vertical. And the company, essentially, it has a business-to-business model, so it more creates partnerships with financial institutions. And it's pretty interesting. Like, these guys were started with they both put in some of their own money, and then they had around $350,000 in pre-seed capital from some early stage investors, including Techstars, right? Which is like Y Combinator. This is like one of the premier biggest tech incubators. And so they also have the AI Operators Fund and Everywhere Ventures, which is formerly known as The Fund. So all of those people are plugging in. Mr. Horsford is the CEO of Muse Tax, and currently they're raising $2 million in a seed round, which is, you know, interesting to see how, if they pull that off, based on their trajectory, when they got started, what they're building, their $350K, I believe they'll be able to pull that off. I mean, they got a Wall Street Journal article, so if that doesn't help raise exposure to new investors, I don't know what will. I think they'll be able to pull this off. And this is important because these guys are going to be helping us to, you know, whether it's them or another copycat or another person in this vertical, there's going to be some massive shifts in the tax code itself. And, you know, this has come after years of different people criticizing how taxes are done, specifically in America. I'm not super familiar with other countries. But essentially, users will be able to feed their tax returns and transaction data into Muse Tax. And that's going to keep track of all the latest updates to the tax code. So, other financial service companies are also going to be able to plug into this. And their system essentially recommends ways that a user can help keep their tax bills to a minimum. This is interesting because, you know, with COVID, there was a lot of different tax changes that happened. And, you know, people are saying that a lot of different accountants are missing some of those tax changes, incentives, write-offs, etc. And so Mr. Horsford said that this is really what their model is trained to do, to be more up to date and process information a lot faster than the average human accountant, even if they're really experienced. So MuseTax usually can make tax recommendations in 20 to 30 seconds, which is super fast, sometimes takes 45 seconds. I mean, which is really not a big deal. I mean, I just did all my taxes on TurboTax. I think, you know, everyone in the States here in the last few days might have been through that process as taxes were due on the 15th. And, you know, it can take, you know, 5 to 7 hours for comparable advice and according to MuseTax. And, you know, like when they're talking about 5 to 7 hours, I think, you know, there's recently a tweet by Elizabeth Warren that said, you know, it takes the average American 12 hours to do their taxes. I'm not sure where she got that number from. She might be completely accurate. She was more just getting roasted on Twitter because, you know, she was saying that that was all due to corrupt corporations, which a lot of people are criticizing, saying that it's, you know, also due to politicians like herself or any other politicians, right or left, that are creating a lot of these complex tax codes that are taking people a long time to do. So it's not just corporations. I mean, what she's referring to is TurboTax, which if you think about it, this I guess is relevant because TurboTax is pretty threatened by MuseTax probably and a lot of these other companies. But TurboTax and Intuit, who runs TurboTax, they lobby the government to keep a lot of tax things the same because they obviously make a ton of money during tax season when everyone has to file their TurboTax or their taxes through them. I personally paid, I think, like $180 or something to just file some taxes through there. And that's just their fee or whatever. So, you know, they're making this off a lot of people. I think the average that an American pays is about $200 to file their taxes, whether they're going with a bunch of different in-house or like in where they're actually going to a place or they're doing some of these online things like TurboTax. It's about $200 that people are paying. So MuseTax is going to be able to focus on capturing some of that with their new service they have. And they said that currently it's all on GPT-3, GPT-3.5, but they plan to move to the latest version, GPT-4, which I think is not relevant news. I don't know why that'd be even included in the Wall Street Journal article, considering everyone's going to be moving to GPT-4. It's just a matter of when they release their API, which is currently not available for everyone. And as soon as that launches, everyone's going to get it because GPT-4 is literally 10 times cheaper. They're dropping the price by 10x from just the previous version of ChatGPT. So, and it's also way better. So it's way better and it's 10th of the cost. I don't know why anyone has to talk about that they're switching to it or act like that's a feature since everyone's going to do it when everyone gets the API, whatever. Anyways, it is, you know, it's pretty interesting because they apparently, MuseTax has a bunch of procedures in place to kind of oversee the responses generated by AI. And according to their CEO, he said, "We are familiar with the oversight needed when managing AI responses." And apparently he says that his co-founder had prior experience building an AI chatbot called Ask My Uncle Sam. Now, again, I don't know, I guess everyone's got to kind of like build their own credibility, but that in and of itself, in my opinion, and I guess I haven't researched too much about Ask My Uncle Sam's chatbot, but that is not necessarily that impressive considering anyone can, here's something crazy you can do. If you did not know this, Quora, who is the massive question and answer website on the internet, they have something called Poe, which is their own, number one, some of their own AI tools, and also they plug into ChatGPT, and also they plug into Anthropic. It's the only consumer-facing way you can use Anthropic, which is a massive ChatGPT competitor. Go check it out. But something interesting they launched, which I bring this up talking about my earlier point about why Ask My Uncle Sam may not be that impressive, is because you can go there and create your own chatbot based off of any base model you want. So essentially, and I've also personally launched products and companies doing some of the similar stuff, so maybe that's why I'm less impressed. I mean, you know, it does take some time, but it's not like you, I guess what I'm saying is you don't have to know how any AI works. It's still just plugging into the API of ChatGPT. So just because his co-founder has experience building a chatbot, like it's really not that crazy. It's just a plug into the API. But anyways, if you go onto Poe, which is run by Quora, you can create your own chatbot. You essentially just create whatever prompt that you'd want. So for something like Ask My Uncle Sam, I'd say pretend you are a tax accountant. You have relevant tax experience in, you know, the state of Connecticut or just all of America for federal taxes or whatever. Help someone to learn about what their current income is and help them come up with new expenses and find new tax stuff, new tax, information, blah, blah, blah. And boom, all of a sudden, you probably have what that guy developed with Ask My Uncle Sam. I don't know. Maybe I'll get roasted for this guy went above and beyond and integrated a bunch of crazy stuff. The other thing that I'm assuming they're coming out with this new version that's hopefully better than Ask My Uncle Sam's AI chatbot is I'm assuming that they're going to plug in a bunch of like modern real world new tax code changes that have come out since ChatGPT was stopped being trained. And that's not that crazy either, because essentially what you can do is just plug in giant like data set or like PDFs or documents of information around different topics. So you could just go probably to different places on the IRS website and look up different tax codes and changes. I'm not an accountant, so I don't know where all that stuff is aggregated, but wherever that's aggregated, you go grab all that information and say, find me the latest, tax breaks that I could get based off of my situation and make sure to include. And then you just plug in all of that new relevant data for new tax breaks that have, come out in the last few years or whatever. So that's how I'm assuming they're doing this whole thing. I mean, not to say it's not impressive and impressive or not, this is incredibly useful and this is the way forward for all taxes. So I absolutely hate doing taxes by myself. It is a pain. It takes a lot of time. A lot of stuff, it's tricky to automate. So yeah, it kind of makes sense. It's interesting. A lot of people have had a lot of discussions, especially with like TurboTax and Intuit, who's done a lot of lobbying to the government to keep some things kind of complicated, allegedly. And so some people have floated like just completely eliminating the IRS and instead putting taxes exclusively on product sales taxes. I think that was a GOP recommendation that came down the pipe or a little bit earlier this year. I think it's probably a bit of a, extreme view in a sense that it probably wouldn't actually ever pass. And I think one of the big criticisms of this concept that people have is, sure, you could put a sales tax on everything, but like, let's say you put sales taxes on all, yachts, then all of a sudden billionaires are going to be like, well, I'll just go buy my yacht from China or Germany or somewhere other than America, and America just wouldn't collect, anything on that if there's an extra 30% sales tax on all super yachts. People buy them other places. That being said, though, I guess a counter argument I recently was thinking of is the fact that, yes, things like super yachts or maybe private jets, that might be the case, but things like property obviously are never going to move, and that's one of the biggest expenses people ever have. And in addition, if you're going to buy a car, whether you could maybe go buy, you say I'm going to buy my car direct from a factory in China, but you probably just have to pay when it got imported. And groceries, you're not going to go buy them anywhere else. Honestly, a majority of everything you would ever buy is going to be purchased in the country. Or when it's imported, you probably have to pay that tax. So I'm not a tax expert, but it, personally, just for simplicity's sake, I do see the appeal of that, of a program or a proposal like that. And I'm sure there's a lot more nuance, a lot more goes into it. And some people think I'm, crazy, but from the layman's perspective that is not, not a expert on anything political or accounting wise, that from the layman's perspective, that seems like it would be a lot simpler. So for all you lawyers out there that might be listening to this or accountants, I would love to hear your opinion on this. Maybe you can throw that into our Facebook group, link in the description, what your opinion is and what you're thinking on this. But in any case, back to Muse Tax and what's going on there. Muse Tax's publicly announced partners include Built Rewards, which is essentially a reward program that allows people to earn points when they're paying rent, and Nestment, which facilitates pooling of capital among homebuyers and primarily younger ones. And they also help people on their platform to sort out the tax implications of a potential home purchase, right? So it's kind of interesting. There seems like they're partnering with people and helping them for a variety of different areas. They're probably not directly taking on TurboTax quite yet for like an entire overall tax thing that they're, you know, taxing or tax form that you might be filing. And they say that they have lowered the barrier to building tax analysis and they've kind of built that into Nestment services. And it's going to be pretty interesting because a lot of more conventional approaches probably would have required Nestment to spend more time and money without really achieving the same level of accuracy or speed. And so, you know, I think this is kind of cool when you think of all the like exciting and fun areas of AI that are out there. It's kind of cool to see something like this that is a real business case. So, you know, the tax code is one of the more obviously boring and mundane things for many. And so this is probably an area that is going to get a lot of adoption, whether it's this company or another one, using these ChatGPT-like models to take in your situation and help you find the best tax breaks, especially new and relevant ones. I think this is going to be really powerful and a very interesting area to watch moving forward.